Looking good on the outside seems to be the thing that matters more than anything else in this world. We live in the age of the selfie stick. Do you have one of those? Social media, Photoshop, all that sort of stuff, that the image we project of ourselves to the world seems to matter so much to us. Isn't it true that we focus an awful lot on externals, on the superficial, on keeping up appearances? Wasn't there a TV show called that many years ago? Maybe you remember that one, Hyacinth Bucket, wasn't it? Putting on a mask. We're very good at putting on a mask. We're very good at pretending to be something that we're actually not. It's common practice, isn't it? We're all really good at doing that. Another word for that is hypocrisy. We put on the mask. That's the image we project to the world. And yet who we are really on the inside, our character, in this culture, that doesn't seem to matter quite as much. This is nothing new, because in Matthew 5-7, the Sermon on the Mount, as Jesus spoke, he spoke into a culture over 2,000 years ago where looking good on the outside was actually all the rage, and especially for the religious leaders of the day. Think people like the Pharisees. They were all about a sort of external righteousness, all about religious show. And Jesus had some very strong words to say to these religious leaders, their mask wearing, their hypocrisy. In Matthew 6:5, Jesus said, "When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and the street corners to be seen by others." Or in Matthew 23, and there's a lot in there that Jesus says about the Pharisees, but in verses 25 and 20, end of 26, he says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they're full of greed and self-indulgence." This is Jesus speaking to religious people. In Matthew 5, Jesus is teaching his disciples about life in the kingdom. And looking good on the outside is not what really matters. What is of much greater importance is who you are on the inside. It's what's going on in your heart. Is your kingdom character that flows out into your life is becoming who you are in Christ. That's what matters more. Jesus says in Matthew 5, verse 8, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." Let's ask two very searching questions to help us grasp what Jesus is getting at here. Firstly, how's your heart? Secondly, how's your vision? Let's begin with how's your heart. Now, when you hear a question like that, or when you hear reference to the heart, maybe automatically you're thinking, my blood pressure, ECGs, the treadmill test, angiograms, stuff like that. And all of that, of course, is very, very important in relation to our physical heart health. And maybe you've experienced some of those things. But here, when Jesus says, "Blessed are the pure in heart," he's getting at something even more vital. Jesus is referring to our spiritual heart health. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about the heart. And when the Bible mentions the heart, when we see that word in Scripture, we need to realize, understand, that it's referring to so much more than just this organ in our chest that pumps blood around our bodies. The heart is the very center and core of our being, our mind, our will, our emotions, the inner person. I suppose you could say the heart is our spiritual life center. After the fall, Genesis 3, disobedience, rebellion against God, sin entered the human heart. And in Genesis 6, verse 5, we read that the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. That's pretty strong, isn't it? In Jeremiah 17:9, we read this, "The heart is deceitful above all things, beyond cure. Who can understand it?" Very strong. Jesus refers to the heart quite a few times, but let me read you one of those occasions. Matthew 15:18. He says, "The things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart, and these defile them." So what's the point of all of this? And there's loads of more references. Well, because of sin, the natural condition of the human heart is wicked, is corrupt, it's defiled, it's infected, it's contaminated, it's filthy, it's dirty, it's impure. It's marked by unrighteousness. Spiritually speaking, that heart, it is lost. You know, that person is separated from a right relationship with God, doesn't have any hope. You know, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And that's the truth about all of us. That's the natural condition of our hearts. That's who we are on the inside. Think that dirty bottle of water earlier. That's who we are by nature. The religious leaders in this culture that Jesus spoke into, they were sort of trying to staple on religious stuff on the outside of their lives. And the futile thought that this would deal with their sinful hearts. They were trying to tag stuff on the outside. But looking good on the outside, even if it's to do with religion, religious activities, doing good things, good works, morality, all of that, looking good on the outside doesn't sort out our hearts. It didn't 2,000 years ago. It can't today. People like you and I, we can't fix ourselves. We cannot clean ourselves up. We can't sort ourselves out. No matter how hard we try, no matter how good we try to be, no matter how much religion we get involved in, we can't make our hearts pure. Something radical is required. Something supernatural had to happen. We need help from the outside, and that's why Jesus came, and that is why the gospel is such good news. Because Jesus makes it possible for our hearts to be changed. In Ezekiel 36, the Lord says, "I will cleanse you from all your impurities and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart. Put a new spirit in you. I will remove your heart of stone, give you a heart of flesh." Doesn't that sound good? Jeremiah also writes about a new covenant. And he writes of the Lord writing it on their hearts of his people. Jesus came to fulfill all the promises of God. Jesus came to deal with the problem of the human heart. And I love how Paul puts it in Ephesians 1:7. "In him," in Jesus, "we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace." Only Jesus can deal with the awful natural condition of our sinful hearts. Only Jesus. No one else. We can't. Our parents can't. Our heritage can't. Our denomination can't. Only Jesus can do that. I wonder, how is your heart today? As you sit in this building, maybe you've been here for many years, maybe you're here for the first time, I don't know. How is your heart? As you think honestly about yourself, your spiritual life, your heart, how is your heart? I wonder, have you experienced this redemption, the riches of God's grace? And I'm thinking beyond the surface, beyond appearances, beyond that religious mask sometimes we all put on. How's your heart? How are you on the inside? Have you been saved by grace? If you haven't, you can come to Jesus sitting in this pew today, right now as you are, and you can experience this forgiveness. You can experience this redemption, this love of God in Christ. Right now. You don't have to wait. You can come to him now, and this can be your experience. But in Matthew 5:8, and we've kept referring to this throughout our series, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. He's speaking to people who have experienced redeeming grace. He's speaking to people who are in the kingdom. And in effect, he's saying to them that their lives in the kingdom ought to be marked by a passionate pursuit of righteousness, purity, holiness. He says, blessed are the pure in heart. If you and I have been saved by grace, if we have been redeemed, then we also need to ask ourselves this question. This question matters. How is your heart? How is my heart? We need to be honest with ourselves, sometimes brutally honest. Where are we at spiritually? Because God, he wants to change us. He wants to radically transform us. He doesn't want to leave us the way we are right now. He wants to change us from the inside out. He wants to sanctify us. He wants to make us pure, make us holy. So when we see that word pure here in verse 8, it can refer to metals being refined and the impurities being removed so that it's unadulterated, unmixed. It can refer to the cleansing from dirt or filth or contamination. Think the two bottles again. When you and I think about the sin that remains in our lives, and I hope we're all aware that in this world, none of us is perfect. None of us. Sin remains. It's a fallen world. It's a broken world. We're saved by grace. We're right with God, but sin remains, and we're battling, aren't we? We're battling the world, the flesh, the devil. We're battling sin. Aware of that sin that remains. And its damage and its destructive impact in our lives and our hearts and our relationships. I wonder, do you and I, as followers of Jesus in the kingdom, do we desperately, passionately desire purity? Do we long to be washed clean? Do we long to be changed? Is our prayer that the Holy Spirit would make us more like Jesus every day? Less of me, more of him. I wonder, is that the prayer? Is that the cry of your heart? Your purity, being pure, can also be understood as having a single, undivided heart. I think sometimes in this world, as believers, we sort of think foolishly we can have a foot in both camps, if you know what I'm saying. We think we can have the world and all that it offers, and we can also follow Jesus. We can have it all, but we can't. This whole Sermon on the Mount is about our lives as followers of Jesus being distinct, being radically different, living counterculturally, not blending in, not going with the flow, standing out. Isn't there a real danger that we compromise? We compromise the truth, we compromise the gospel, we try to be like the world. Compromise purity. And instead of becoming more like Jesus, isn't there a danger that you and I can become more like the world? We ought to have a single-minded, committed devotion to God, completely devoted to him, undivided loyalty. If you're a football fan, you can't support Spurs and Arsenal. I support Spurs, as you might know by now. You can't divide that loyalty. You're passionate about your team. That's totally trivial. That's just football. This is Jesus. This is our spiritual lives. This is our hearts. I wonder, are you and I absolutely committed to him? Undivided loyalty. Sold out for him. Because I think that's what this beatitude is getting at. This world is fallen, broken, messy, impure. We're called to pursue purity, to become more like Jesus. I think the background to this beatitude surely must flow out from Psalm 24. Listen to these couple of verses from Psalm 24. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. I wonder, how is your heart? How is your heart today? Have you been changed? Have you been forgiven? Are you and I being changed? Are we desperate to be changed? Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart. And then, for they will see God. I wonder, how's your vision? Second and final heading this morning. For many years, I wore glasses and contact lenses for basically my whole childhood and into being an adult for years and years and years. And very familiar, like most of us are, with going to the optician. Went to a place in Armagh and do the chart there with all the letters on it and asking you to read down the chart. My experience was getting to like the third line. Maybe you've been there too, and it's all a blur. You can see nothing at all. You've been there, haven't you? Maybe you've got crystal clear vision and you haven't had that experience. Well, around 14, 15 years ago, I went for laser eye surgery. I'm sure you've seen that advertised. Maybe you've had it too. And a few days after that procedure, I remember waking up, and I think our Noah, the oldest boy, was probably about 2 at this stage. I remember waking up, and he was jumping up on the bed. And I remember being absolutely staggered. I could see crystal clear. It was like high definition or ultra high definition nowadays. I could see every detail. It's amazing. For me, that was a big thing. And I've heard a lot of people over the years talk about cataract surgery. Maybe you've had that. And that experience of going from hazy, blurry vision the next day or two, you can see really clearly. Your physical eyesight is something, it's a real blessing, something we ought to be so thankful for. However, we can have the ability to physically see perfectly. You and I could have 20/20 vision. We could see all the most spectacular, jaw-dropping sights in the entire world. And I'm sure there's a lot of things you would love to see with your eyes. Nothing compares. Nothing compares to the seeing that Jesus speaks of in Matthew 5, verse 8. Because he says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. What about that? They will see God. Now let's think about this just for a moment or two. When we look at this beatitude, I think it's helpful to think about it in two aspects. Firstly, seeing God now, and then seeing God later, or then. So seeing God now, you and I, we don't physically see God like I see you, like you see me, like you see the pews, this building. We don't see God like that. I often think in this theme to verses like Exodus 33, verse 20, the Lord said to Moses, you cannot see my face, no one can see me and live. You sinful people, broken people, we can't see a God who is only a holy God. We've just been singing those words. He's holy, perfect, righteous. We can't handle that. And so when Jesus here speaks of seeing God in Matthew 5, 8, for now, it's seeing God with the eyes of faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. We can see God. We can see his glory, his beauty, his majesty in creation. And we often appreciate that, don't we? You go for a walk in the Mourns or the Spurrens, or maybe you travel a bit further over the summer. We see his beauty, don't we? His glory in creation. And it's astounding. It's staggering. It's glorious. We can see God as we come to his word, can't we? We can see, ultimately, through eyes of faith, Jesus. We see God through eyes of faith. If we've received the gift of salvation, if our eyes have been opened, the new birth, we see him now in that way. And his Holy Spirit opens up our hearts, opens up our eyes to truth. But what about seeing God then? Well, that's about what lies in wait for us in the future. That's about our hope of glory. That's about heaven. John, 1 John 3:2 says, we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Can you imagine? There's a modern worship song called We Can Only Imagine. Maybe you've heard it. Can you imagine seeing him as he is? Or even further to that, in Revelation 22:4, the throne of God and the Lamb will be in the city. His servants will serve him. They will see his face. and his name will be on their foreheads, seeing his face. You know, what a hope we have as believers that one day we will see Jesus face to face. What a hope we have. We have strength for today. We have a bright hope for tomorrow, don't we? What a hope that is, to see Jesus. You know, when you look at the world right now, maybe you look at your life and you just see brokenness everywhere. Maybe you turn the news on and it's just dark and depressing and chaotic and confusing. Maybe you feel weighed down by your circumstances. Doesn't this make a difference? Doesn't the gospel make a difference? Doesn't the hope that we have make a difference? That one day you and I will see Jesus face to face. This world will have trouble. Jesus said that, didn't he? Take heart, I've overcome the world. He's going to take us home one day. We're going to see him face to face. In Hebrews 12:14, we read that without holiness, no one will see the Lord. And that's the other aspect of this seeing then. Because then, in glory, our hearts will be absolutely pure. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine no more sin, no more darkness, no more brokenness, no more mess, no more illness, no more tears, no more grief? Can you imagine a world where none of that exists and we are pure? Absolutely pure, sinless, seeing Jesus face to face. I don't know about you, but this really encourages my heart. Jesus in Matthew 5:8 speaks of a seeing that changes everything forever. You're looking good on the outside is not what really matters. Religious activities, ticking the boxes, putting on a mask, pretending to be someone we're not, doesn't really matter. What really matters is who we are on the inside. It's what's going on in our hearts. It's our spiritual lives. I wonder, how is your heart today? How is your vision? Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Shall we take a moment to pray? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, for your truth, for the way in which you speak right into our hearts. Father, thank you for Jesus, the gracious Savior of our ruined lives, the one who broke our bonds of sin and shame. God, thank you for the power of the gospel to transform our hearts and for the promises of the gospel, for the hope of the gospel, that one day you will take us home. Lord, help us to live our lives in this world sold out for Jesus with a passionate longing that you would change us, that you would make us pure. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to close today by